Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Tell Me Why You're Special. This is not a highlight reel podcast. This is the arena. This is where creators, writers, founders, and the barely holding it together but still showing up humans get the mic. You can pitch your book, your podcast, your product, or just tell us why you should have one. We're talking about how your mess turned into a message, how you kept moving forward while getting your ass kicked, and what it actually looks like to build something meaningful when you don't have it all figured out yet. So, we don't have any bullshit here, no fake confidence, no fluff, like real people, real courage, real momentum. So, if you're in the arena, bruised, bold, and still standing, this is your room. And today I have Ari Restigar, and I'm super excited for him to get started on here. He is in the hot seat today. Hello, Ari. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Brandon. I like that intro. That was cool.
Thank you. So my first question, and it's kind of the same for everybody across the board because this is the hot seat. A lot of people struggle with this. You're in an elevator with someone who needs what you do, but they don't know it yet. They need your story. You have 30 seconds. Who do you help? How do you help them? And why you, not anyone else doing something similar?
Cool. Well, I think the most special thing about me is that I'm really not that special. I think I'm just a regular guy. Maybe a little bit of relentlessness. I think that that could maybe be a little bit special, but I'm a nobody from nowhere. My dad was an Iranian immigrant, and he had a dream for me to be a lawyer because anyone that knows Persians knows that you're either a doctor or a lawyer. That's just what happens. So I had a really bad speech impediment growing up, and so it was kind of an awkward kid and barely got through high school. Was flipping burgers at Johnny Rockets, and got into two community colleges delivering pizzas, making $2.86 an hour. And following this initial path, my dad gave me. I love to read. I was an English literature major. I did end up doing okay in college and studying abroad and making it through law school. And I had this harebrained idea in law school to use all of my scholarship money to buy a single family lot. And so I built a house, and then I built two. And 2008 hit. I graduated law school, practiced law for a little bit, still kind of not knowing exactly what I was going to do. And my wrestling coach introduced me to one of the biggest real estate financiers in the history of Wall Street. And we decided to start an entertainment company. So we started a huge entertainment company, sold tickets for thousands of dollars. I beat Hugh Hefner in a poker game to rent the Playboy Mansion. And then the biggest ice storm in the history of Dallas wiped out the first parties. And then Legionnaire's disease wiped out the Playboy Mansion parties. And I went to sleep a multimillionaire, woke up broke. And through a series of continuous collapses and failures, I woke up one day realizing, like, what have I learned thus far? And the only thing I've really learned is how to fail. So I wrote a book called The Gift of Failure. And the first line of the book is, I hope you fail. I hope you fail a lot. And through some few twists of fate and some of that relentlessness, I started a real estate private equity investment company. My investors are public pension plans, insurance companies. We've invested in 38 cities, 13 states, seven different asset classes. We build industrial facilities, data centers, single family houses, apartment complexes, master planned communities, you name it. I'm a 43-year-old CEO, and I'm just getting fucking warmed up.
It's amazing. You've done a lot. The thing that's going to stand out to me right now, out of everything, is that you're talking about your wrestling coach. I'm a wrestling mom, and I just want, if you guys are
The
listening,
best ever.
it is the hardest thing. And my son's coach is like, if you could wrestle, you could do anything in the world. Like you
I
can.
cannot wait for my coach to watch this. He's in my book. He's one of my best
Yeah.
friends. His son works for me. I was a mediocre wrestler on the best wrestling team in the history of Texas. We had six national champions.
Wow.
It was freaking murderer's row on that
Yeah.
thing. And so my coach always would say, if I was on any other wrestling team on the planet, I would have been a starter. But on my wrestling team, I was like a mediocre, like nobody.
Yeah.
But learning, how to operate on your back, bro, like getting hit, getting picked up. And he will tell you, and he says it over and over again, he thinks that any modicum of success, whatever I may or may not have, whatever accolades, he thinks it's because of wrestling. And by the way, at this point in my life, like, I am inclined to believe him. But when he hears this and watches this, he is going to be so damn happy. But it's the greatest sport It's the greatest sport in the world to learn how to get back up, how to operate on your back, how to fall properly. And in life, the analogy holds true because failing, there's a way to fail well, there's a way to fall well, right? And so fall properly, hit the roll, get back up, and use the momentum. And there's so many analogies that hold true.
And I mean, it's not just physical. Like you're getting beat down mentally, emotionally, the frustration. Like, I mean,
We wasted
the arena.
the football players 2 a days. We ran 10 miles on Saturday
Yeah.
before practice. Before practice. And like looking back, I was like, this is fucking insane.
Yeah.
But you know, when you start out like that wrestling at 11, 12 years old, through high school, and like I said, getting the shit kicked out of you every single day. Business, clearly, I'm still beat up and bruised, but at the same time, like when you're used to taking punches, it becomes a little easier when life kicks you in the teeth.
Right. I think there's, I mean, just watching my son, this was his second year. The first year he actually got his ribs broken in the beginning, so he's kind of benched, but I watched him for a couple matches in the beginning, and then to watch the transformation where he actually got to wrestle this year, like I don't think I've admired a human more to watch him, because
Awesome.
he never
Good for
complained.
you, Mom.
Never complain, just gets up and he's like, all right, when's my next match? And he would say stuff, right? Like, I'm done wrestling. This is probably my last meet. But he did it, stuck out the whole season and actually placed for the first time this year, third in a tournament. So
That's incredible.
just the awe. Like, I have super mad respect for people that start there, because I know that their origin story is going to be incredible. Like
Yeah,
the it
I talk to wrestlers all the time. I
yeah.
talk to different associations. Like I talk to the schools. Like it is, it's incredible and good for you, Mom, for believing in your son enough to put him in that thing because if they don't learn how to get scraped. I'm a father of three, and letting them get in the arena to get scraped, to stand back up. You
Right.
know, it's as parents, sometimes it's hard to watch them fail like that, hard to watch them get hurt. But who they become in the process is what I think is in the entire game. So that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And, you know, it's my boys are just amazing. One of them is leaving for the Marines. So they are just like, they've just got something in them that I just am so, it's just, I just admire them. Like,
I
they're
love it.
incredible humans. But so before anyone ever believed in you, when you're going through this process, when you're first starting to make things happen, what did you believe about yourself that still holds true today?
That I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul. My father gave me a copy of Think and Grow Rich when I was 13 years old. And I know that line that from Invictus, has been used a lot recently. But when I first read it, and mind you, I'm an English major, like I told you. Like I read the best books in the world, for a living and a lawyer. I mean, so reading is what I do, but I had a embedded belief very early on that my thoughts were things and that I am the creator of my life. I am not a manager of circumstances. So no matter what I saw in front of me, life was happening, coming from me, not to me. And I refined that belief with my work with Tony Robbins, the work that I've done with Dr. Joe Dispenza and, meditation retreats and a gazillion other books and seminars and things afterwards. But there's an underlying belief that is embedded in my soul that I'm the creator of my life, as a co-creator, I should say, of my life. And that's been, that's been all the difference. It wasn't long ago that, I was making $2.86 an hour. And I go back and audit my thoughts as that young man who was a crazy motherfucker. And I'm very grateful for that guy for getting me here. Like, I don't need him anymore. Like, I keep him locked in a self-storage facility somewhere, but he got me here and I'm grateful for that. But then I audit my thoughts now of running a multi-billion-dollar platform that I own 100% of. I mean, I started it with a $3,000 loan, and we're building communities. We're doing incredible things to help people at a place. We say we put unity back in community. That's our designing these master plan communities on hundreds of acres with elementary schools and green spaces and thousands of houses and apartments. And I look at that and think, what am I thinking about right now that this is possible? And then I think about what I was thinking about then when I was, eating ramen noodles, and I was still me, but the way the thoughts propagated and evolved were very different. So auditing what we think, and it's called metacognition. So there's very different types of intelligence, right? There's social intelligence, mathematics, emotional intelligence, you name it. But metacognition is thinking about what you think about. And so if you can pause, and I've done a lot of this work with meditation, with transcendental meditation, with Dr. Joe Dispenza. I urge
Dispenza is
anybody,
fire. Yeah.
go see Dr. Joe for a 7-day retreat, change your life, give yourself the gift. Go see Tony at either Unleash the Power Within or Date with Destiny. And it's not just the seminar, it's that energy, quite literally, that we can measure now, by the way. This is not woo-woo, some ayahuasca or whatever the hell people do. This is the human capacity that we can measure in the room with zero and one machines, that changes. And when you have access to the nuclear power plant of all these other souls around you with this common elevated emotion, you get lit the fuck up. And once you're lit up, you can go audit those thoughts. You can go in there and change that operating system. You can change those neural pathways. And you can, if you have lost, or temporarily had amnesia about that you are the creator of your life, you can remember. You can go remember, and you can get back up. You can go rewrite that software. You can take the reins back. And that's my greatest hope for anybody that's living this life of experience, because that's what it is. You experiment, you experience, you experiment, you experience. And
And it's messy. And it's messy. And it takes it took you at that point, the burger flipper, to take massive responsibility. And that's the one thing I think, you're definitely special because we're all the same. And the thing that you've done different is that you've taken the massive responsibility and you've been aware of your thoughts and you realize that you're co-creating. You guys, we're here for the human experience. If we're not growing and getting uncomfortable, if we're not doing the next scary thing, like what is our purpose? What is our point? To be stagnant and live your life watching Netflix, like that's not going to serve you, right?
Well, it's not going to serve others either. I mean, if you look at the
Exactly.
formula, like the formula for, because success and fulfillment aren't the same thing, obviously, but the thing that science has over and over proved about happiness or joy or any of those elevated emotions, it's a simple formula that Ray Dalio, the greatest investor in history, wrote out so succinctly that I love. And he's the one that taught me about meditation, by the way. I asked him as a young entrepreneur, like, what would I learn? And I thought he was going to tell me, go get an MBA or something. And he was like, learn to meditate. Anyways, it's pain plus reflection. So you have to fail or have some sort of pain. Pause, reflect. Pain plus reflection equals progress. And when you're progressing, and progress, as you mentioned, is not linear. If you look at the stock market, even though over 20 years it's going up, it's up, on a day-to-day basis, it looks like this. It looks like a fucking mess. But overall, as you zoom out, because life doesn't happen in days, life happens in decades. You pull out, it has this trajectory of upward, and life is the same thing. If you can go and endure the inevitable pain, you can take the inevitable pain of reflecting into the pain, extrapolate not just the bad, but the good, what worked, what didn't work, and then you're left with this gift of progress. And if you're progressing continuously and you can look back that you have gone further, an inch, a mile, or something, not in a day, because in basketball, they call it a step back jumper. Like you step back, create space, and then you make the shot. Life is the same way. So progress doesn't necessarily mean you're going forward in every instance. You have to go backwards to be able to go forward. You miss the turn, you make the loop around, and you keep going. But if you are at a place where you're focused on progress, you're auditing your thoughts, you're auditing your behavior, and you have a goal, some purpose that is about contribution, that is about growth, that is about to fill your cup to give others, I think somewhere within that stuff, over reading all the sages and oracles and religions of whatever, and I'm none of those things, they all tend to have that same formula, whether from Jim Rohn to Tony Robbins to Wayne Dyer to Maharshi Mahesh Yogi to Sadhguru. They're all kind of saying the same shit. And I tend to find agree when people that disagree agree on something. Like I try to find like if people that hate each other or think every each other are wrong, there are golden threads of similarity. And if you can hone in on that thing, I think you have a high probability of maybe finding something that could be true.
Right. What is a mistake that you made that actually shaped you more than any win ever has?
Oh, no win ever shaped me, for clear. Like winning just made me a fucking asshole. Like just every time I won, I just felt a hint of arrogance or something came, and I've tried to temper that. So winning success taught me nothing, for the record. Failing and losing is the only time that there ever was a lesson for me personally. I'm sure there's much better, smarter people out there than me that can learn from their wins, but I definitely didn't. And I don't know, we only have a few more minutes, so I don't have time to give you a laundry list of everything that I lost or failed or suffered. It would certainly, fill a lifetime. But I can tell you, from a health standpoint, being an entrepreneur, working those founder hours, sleeping in the office, visions of grandeur to build a massive, massive business, which we've done. And I didn't understand, and I know this is corny, and you say health is wealth and whatever, but it really, really is,
True.
because you need energy. I'm huge into my own health and wellness because I need me to do the things that I need to do, and so I failed at that radically early in my career. I mean, doctors were telling me I have this and giving me medications and whatever bullshit, and re-changing what I eat. And people have their own beliefs around this stuff, so I don't want to annoy anybody. But at the end of the day, sugar is bad for you, however you slice it. Drink more water, move your body vigorously, eat whole foods. Take a multivitamin, a probiotic, and a prebiotic, for God's sake. If you have the luxury to really test your blood and do food sensitivity tests, because people's bodies are different. I had a dear friend of mine who was having all these health problems, and she took his food sensitivity test, and she was allergic to lettuce. So I mean, so meaning you never know what it is, but being vigorous about managing my blood work, my mental health, and my physical health, the way that I manage my investments. Go through and handle billions and billions of dollars of deals and pipeline and things. And then I took that approach to me, auditing what goes in my ears, what goes in my eyes, what goes in my mouth. And the times that I've been the most stressed or the most out of control and figuring out how to scrape myself off the ground, going through my divorce or whatever the hell was going on, whatever sob story I had, taking an element of control of what I put in my mouth was the first step to gaining control of the uncontrollable for me. And I continue to go back to that place. And I find that the healthier that I am, the better I feel, the more heart-centered I am, the more brain coherence that I have, the more that I can give, the more that I can show up. Because as founders and entrepreneurs, at the least, our businesses are an extension of us. So, if you fix that root, or you begin to nurture that root, it's going to manifest itself in every single area of your life.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can't agree with that more. So I feel like that's a great place for people to start. That's the thing you can control. What's going in your mouth, what content you're consuming, all of those things matter. It
And
matters.
it's basically free. And it's basically free. Like I took my youngest daughter Chick-fil-A the other day, and it was like $13. I go to Costco and buy like organic chicken or wild salmon, a huge bag frozen, grilled vegetables, and boil some sweet potatoes. And I know it sounds boring, but in the investment business and in health, boring is beautiful. All the fancy bullshit is exactly that. And I do hyperbaric chambers and have all sorts of fun gadgets and gizmos, but it's my hobby. Like it's red light therapy and all sorts. It's my hobby. I take 200 supplements a day, but like I said, it's my hobby. But there's other basic things where $13 to $17 at Costco, I can have like 14 flawless meals
Right.
that are meal prepped in my whatever. So these are bad stories. This is bad software. This is bad marketing. It's too expensive. I can't do it. It's too difficult. It's all fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Take some control, put down the soda for God's sake, drink some water,
Yeah.
and move your body vigorously, however you do that, whatever that means. And if you can, and you're privileged enough to have all four of your limbs and have your mental faculties and being in a place, like America, that you can do these things, because there's 1 billion people without running water. So I don't want to be presumptuous enough to say this is for everybody. This is all definitely a luxury. In some regard, there's 300 million women that can't go to school just because they're women, and I'm a girl dad.
Right.
So if you are blessed enough to have a digital device to listen to us banter, and have the place, then these things, you don't have an excuse. Go do them, because, like I said, there's 1.3 billion people that literally can't. And so we are, we can, so we must.
Yeah. No, I very much agree with that. And I think a lot of people take that for granted. We're fat and happy. Everyone in this country is
We're not. We're actually
happy.
fat and miserable.
Yeah,
Be, you
right.
know it. You know you're
Comfortable. I
fat.
mean, comfortable, right? Like they
Pleasure,
comfortable.
pleasure, and comfort is the enemy of
Yes.
fulfillment.
I love that. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, you guys should just take a look at the thing that you're taking for granted because a lot of people would love to be in your shoes. I mean, and the stuff is free, right? Like water,
Yeah.
taking a walk outside. And I can never tell people enough. There's not a day that I miss like being outside barefoot, even in the snow. I live in
There you
Michigan.
go.
We had snow all winter, and that was my thing. When I do the cat boxes, I walk outside barefoot every single
Awesome.
morning and just
That grounding energy,
everything.
is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the natural, I mean, again, this is all so measurable now. I used to sound like a hippie saying all this stuff, but now that Dr. Joe, has, he's made science the language of mysticism. And that's one thing I love about him so much, to where what he's saying, none of it's new. I mean, from chakras to energy centers to, this has been said in the Vedic cultures and the Chinese cultures and the Mayans and the Persians forever, but he synthesized it in such a beautiful way that we can do it. But basically, we now know that all this stuff is real. And I watched my heart, my own heart, on a scan go from looking at this thing on a scan of anxiety and just feeling fear and just not good looking. And I saw what it looked like. And then I sat there and with this huge group went through this practice, and I brought a level of coherence to my heart physically. I audited how I felt, and I looked on a scanner of what my heart was doing after this practice, and it was a fucking revolution. And so there is physiology to this, and we can use our mind to change our body, but we can also use our body to change our mind. And like you said before, this is about radical responsibility. Radical response. It might not be your fault, but it's your fucking problem, and life isn't fair, never was, never will be. But having responsibility is, I believe, something that, like I said, we have the privilege to be able to do. If we should, or if we can, we must.
And I think that is the huge difference between people that have peace in their lives, that are happy where they are, that can define their own success. I know when I first started, like everyone's definition of success was everything I chased. And now it's entirely different. Like my success will never be measured by things outside of me
Well,
ever.
the good part about that, well, the thing about that too, in fairness to you, is when you go through different seasons of your life, and that's what we do, there's seasons. The early season is about apprenticeship, and apprentices, go and they copy their masters or their teacher or their mentor, and you look for that outer thing, and then you gain your own status. I mean, this is how Michelangelo, Da Vinci, just pick any of the great artists as an example, or basketball players, Kobe watching Michael as whatever and calling him every night, asking him about this thing until his craft evolved. So, there is a time when we look for comparison and we look to mimic and we look to have imitation, but there's a point in everyone's education of self-education, they find that imitation is suicide. But there is a point where imitation is part of the learning process. There is a line to it. So I think there is a part where we emulate and we try and we see what that thing looks like until we get our feet underneath us, until we can spread our proverbial wings or whatever corny thing to say, but going out there and doing your own thing in your own way with your own uniqueness is the next season, is the next phase. And
I love that. If someone is exactly where you once were, what do they need to hear right now?
well, I think we need to, for me, taking the time to really educate ourselves. Like, there is such a, when I was growing up, there wasn't YouTube, so to speak, right? So, figure out in some regard what you want, not for your whole life, what you want now, like, and be able to define it to some regard. There are some great, great books out there, The Think and Grow Riches of the World, that are timeless. There's podcasts of people that in your, I don't know what you, if you want to be a fashion designer, okay, great. Well, go and spend some time emulating and watching and learning, whether it's just, I don't have any money. Well, you have YouTube, you know, watch YouTube, watch whoever doing their thing, like research them, look at them, spend some time to educate yourself and garner some wisdom before you necessarily, you know, yes, there is boldness in action. Yes, go out there, but there's also a certain level of recklessness that can be out there doing. There's a big difference between being bold and being reckless, and there's a difference between taking concentrated strategic action and just being an idiot. And so if you are in that place, taking the time to sit with yourself, learn a meditation practice, learn a silence practice, because if we don't calm our physical mind and our heart, and whatever your religious propensity, spiritual propensity, they all have it. They all say, they're all saying the same thing. If you pray in a mosque or a temple or a church, you close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes. Calm the mind, calm the heart, get out a pen and paper, get out your computer, write out the things that you want, and then find the person or the people or the groups that are doing something as similar to that as you can find, that are the best in the fucking world, and watch them, sit with them, be around them, if only digitally or just in books. And if you can get next to them in proximity, make yourself indispensable to them. Be around them because proximity has power, and slowly let the, you know, let the thing evolve. And
I
you'll
love
find your
that.
path.
Your energy is super tangible. So I want to make sure we make it clear how people can get into your proximity, where they can find you, follow you, get your book. How can they get resourced with you, Ari?
Sure. Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. You can get my book, The Gift of Failure, on Amazon. You can listen to it on Spotify, or on Audible. You can look up our investment business at rastigarcapital.com. And I mean, you can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can Google my name at Rastigar Property, whatever variation. Our team spends a lot of time to put out things that we think are thoughtful, we think are value add, we think that they make that they could genuinely help people. There's an email address at the end of my book that I've got thousands of emails from all over the world that, I mean, literally, I just sit on my on the ground and sob reading some of these stories. So if you do write a message, I'll read it. It's some of the most cherished moments of my life, being able to hear other people's failures and successes and turnarounds. So yeah, reach out. Your call will be answered. Your emails, I'm sure, will be answered. And I hope I get to see everybody, if not physically, metaphysically.
Yeah, that's amazing. I appreciate you so much for coming on the show today, Ari. And I just want to let you guys know, if you're listening, you are not behind. No matter where you are in this moment, you are not broken, and you are not missing some secret ingredient that everyone else got handed when they were born, okay? Everything you've ever needed to build, to heal, to speak, or to lead is already inside of you. Your story matters, and not when it looks like Instagram perfection, okay? Right now, it's worth it. Your healing is worth the work that it's asking of you. Your forward momentum, even when it's quiet and uncelebrated, you guys is still momentum, okay? And choosing to be vulnerable, to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm building, like, that is not weakness. That is courage. That is leadership, and it is worth the price. So if something in you is stirring, if you know you're meant for more, and if you're done hiding, I want you to stay here. Make sure you subscribe to the show, share this with the people that you love. Stay in the story. And when it's your turn, I want you to step into the arena and tell us why you are special. All right. Thank you so much, Ari. You guys, I'll see you next time.